Thank you very much. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Isn't he a wonderful Lord?
Yes.
He's faithful and he's true.
Yes.
He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Yes.
He's the Word of God.
Yes.
He's already been moving among us in power this morning.
Yes.
There's been breakthrough in people's lives.
Yes.
People have jobs now, they're just going to go and find them.
Yes.
Isn't God good? Isn't he good to us?
Amen.
He's spoken to us clearly this morning already that it's given to us to know him. He's a wonderful Lord.
Yes.
It's an honor for me to stand before you today because you're my family.
Yes.
To me, you've been brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in the Lord. And I wouldn't be where I am without you, and you wouldn't be where you are without me.
Amen.
So it's good to be together.
Amen.
But I know this morning that God has more for us.
Yes.
God is not finished with us as a people yet.
Yes.
He has more for us.
Yes.
He's got mountaintops for us to reach.
Come on.
He's got miracles for us to see. He's got freshness in his presence for us to experience because he is a good God.
Yes.
And his purpose and his plan never changes.
Amen.
And he's clearly been speaking to us recently about his purpose and his plan for us as a people.
Yes.
I wanted to remind you to start some of the things God has said to us as a people recently. He's told us he wants us to know him intimately and deeply. Last week he told us he wants us to know his goodness. A while ago, he told us he wants us to know the person of the Holy Spirit. He told us this year it's a year to clear away the stones, to make a way for the Lord to come. He told us don't go back, but go on to increase and increase and increase. He told us last week to reach out and take hold of him. And he said the same thing again today. Reach out and take hold of me. And very clearly again today, by a tongue and interpretation, he said, it is given to you to know me and to know my presence. Those are words that for me tell me God is not finished here yet. I can't hear those words and think, oh, it's not me, it's not us. God's done, he's going somewhere else. No, he's spoken to us as a people. Let's remember the things he said. And it's really important that we recognize what God has said and we respond to it as well. We could recognize what God has said but never respond and it would do us no good. We could recognize that that was his word and never respond, and it would just lie dormant for us, and it would be another generation that would take it up. But equally, we could respond to a word, but if we hadn't recognized it was God's word, we could be responding to anything. We could be going left and right and end up just where we were. But together, if you recognize God's word and then respond to his word, then we're going forward. And so I wanted to remind you to start off some of the things God himself has said to us as a people so that we recognize that is God's word. And so that we can respond as a people to God's word. Because his word is faithful and true. And will always accomplish the thing that it was sent to. There's another word that God spoke to us recently that I want to remind you of. Because that's a particular word I want to pick up on this morning. We had a time of significant power in the Holy Spirit. About 7 or 8 weeks ago. God was opening our eyes to know the Holy Spirit in fresh ways. There was a wave of wind and fire and water upon us as a people. There was a corporate anointing, if you like. There was a fresh and new power on us as a people from the Holy Spirit. And God spoke to us in that time. And I want to read you what he said. Can't you see the rain that is coming, says the Lord? By comparison, today will be seen as a little cloud that once rose in this people. But I want you to see, says the Lord, that this little cloud will fill the skies with rain. It will change the environments of this world because a deluge is coming upon this land, says the Lord. So come up on the mountain and have a look at what I am going to do in your days. Can't you see it, says the Lord. And I've been pondering that word recently. And the Lord has been opening my eyes. Because there's a couple of keys I have for you this morning for us to see this word fulfilled. We recognize it's the word of God, but we have to respond as well.
Yes.
And so God's given me some ways that we can respond to that word in order to come up on the mountain to see the things that he's going to do. Would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18? The little cloud is going to become a thick, full, heavy rain cloud. A thunderstorm is coming. And we are the people who not only will see it, but will be alive in the days of the rain, the latter rain. Revival days, not coming and going, but onwards and upwards the mountain to see the Lord return. As we're about to read in 1 Kings, we're reading about Elijah. And in the New Testament, it says about Elijah that he was a man just like us. And I used to think about that. And I realize now what I thought was that meant I was a bit like him. So I could kind of copy Elijah. I could emulate Elijah because he was a good example. I thought that's what the Bible was saying when it said he was a man just like us. I thought, okay, I could try and do what Elijah did. But that's not actually what the verse says. It says Elijah was a man just like us. It's not me living as though I was him, but he was living as though he was us. He was a man just like us. He had the same nature as us. He had the same heart as us. He had the same spirit as us. And so he was doing what you would do in this situation. He was a man just like you. If you were in this situation, this is what you would do. Because he was a man just like you. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's given to you to know him. And so Elijah is just doing what you would have done. He was living before his time, if you like, or beyond his time. So as we're going to read Elijah, don't think, oh, I'll just try and copy Elijah. I'll do my best and try and do what he would have done. But you just live in the Holy Spirit and you'll find you do what Elijah does. Let's read in 1 Kings 18, verse 41 onwards. I'm just going to read you these verses because these are the verses God had spoken to us. And then we're going to look a little bit earlier in the chapter. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 onwards says, 41, yes. And Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant, and he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times, Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And I was reading those verses because the Lord had spoken to them to us, and I was getting excited about the rain cloud, and I was thinking, oh, just to see the rain cloud, it's coming. And the Holy Spirit was pushing me back in the story. He was saying, there's something earlier in the story that you need to see. And so I would go back a little bit further, and I'd read a little bit further. And then the Holy Spirit would push me back again, and I'd read about Elijah with the sacrifices and the prophets of Baal, and there was no response, there was no answer to their prayers, but Elijah prayed, and God responded with fire, and I thought, oh, that's great. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, it's further back. So he pushed me all the way back to the beginning of chapter 18. So let's have a look at the beginning of chapter 18, shall we? Just the first few verses. It says, after a long time, in the third year, that's 3 years without rain, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. That's really important. God had promised Elijah he was going to send rain. Elijah wasn't standing on the mountain praying, hoping that someday rain would come. He had a word. He had recognized it was the word, and he responded to the word by being on the mountain. Because God had said, I will send rain on the land. And so Elijah had that word resonating in his heart all the time, all the way through this story. There was a word in his heart. God is sending the rain. God is sending the rain. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 2. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. And the Holy Spirit highlighted those verses to me as I was reading. And he contrasted in my mind 100 prophets in a cave and 1 prophet on a mountain. There were 100 prophets in a cave with bread and water, but God had said, I'm sending the rain. And Elijah was a prophet on the mountain. Elijah was a prophet going and seeing Ahab. Elijah was a prophet lifting up a sacrifice. And I was thinking about these 100 prophets, and I was wondering to myself, how could they have missed the word? Because they were prophets. They could hear the word of the Lord just as clearly as Elijah could. I'm sending the rain on the land. But there were 100 prophets in a cave. And I thought, I don't want to be in a cave. God has said, I will send the rain on the land. And I believe the Holy Spirit is raising a rallying call this morning to come out of the caves. The Holy Spirit says, come out of the caves. Come out of the caves. Come out of the caves this morning and come up on the mountain. Come up on the mountain this morning. We're a people who can hear the Lord. A prophet was among us recently called Erling Too, and he called us a prophetic people, and I believe that. That is, we're a people who can hear the word of the Lord. We're a people who know the word of the Lord. We're a people who can see what he's doing. And I believe this is a company of prophetic people who can hear the word of the Lord that says, come up on the mountain. Come out of the caves. I don't want to leave any of you in a cave this morning. I'm aware that this word is going to leave a decision before you. The word of the Lord is living and active, and it separates between soul and spirit. There's going to be a separation this morning between soul and spirit. I'm not afraid to say that you will have a decision to make this morning according to this word. Are you going to stay in a cave, or are you going to go up the mountain? Are you going to stay in a cave, or are you going to come up the mountain, says the Lord? Young and old, the question is the same. Are you staying in the cave, or are you coming up the mountain? God has something on the mountaintop for you you'll never find in a cave. Elijah would never have seen the cloud from the cave. It's dark in a cave. You don't see clouds. You don't see sunlight. You don't see anything in a cave. It's dark up there. But on the mountaintop, that's where you'll see. So there's a decision to make. Cave or mountain? The mountaintops are of intimacy with him and vision of his plan. Carmel and Horeb were two mountains that Elijah ended up on in the story. We'll come to those in a minute. But I want to tell you what the mountaintop is before I tell you about the caves, just to whet your appetite. Intimacy with him and a vision of his plan. That's the kind of mountain I want to be on. But there are some caves that the Holy Spirit has highlighted for me this morning that I believe he's calling us out of. That there's a rallying call to come out of the caves, prophetic people, to hear his word that says the rain is coming and to be on the mountain. And there are four caves. And for those of you who are taking notes, I've made them into an acrostic for you. My English friends over here are very proud of me now. An acrostic is where the first letter of each of the words forms a word of its own. So the word is going to be cave. That's right. And there are four caves. The first cave is the cave of comfortability. Obadiah fed the prophets in the cave bread and water. Those are just enough to get by on, aren't they, really? Bread and water. That's enough for natural existence. That's what you need. That's vital. That's just enough to get by. And these prophets had become comfortable with just enough. They'd become comfortable with, I've got bread and water. I've got shelter. I'm comfortable here. I'll stay. For some of us, I believe we've become comfortable with just enough. We may have the house, we may have the job, we may have the car, we may have the family. We may be on a serving rota. We may attend regularly to the meetings, and that's just enough. But the Holy Spirit says, come out of the cave this morning. Come out of the cave of comfortability this morning. Because there is a mountaintop of divinely uncomfortable adventures for you. Come out of the cave of comfortability this morning. Come out of the cave of comfortability. Don't get by with just bread and water. There's a feast for you on the mountaintop. They burned a whole cow up there on Carmel. It's not bread and water. There's a feast for you. So come out of the cave. Come out of the cave of comfortability, says the Lord. So there's your first cave, the cave of comfortability. And the second cave is the cave of apathy. We try calling it Britishness sometimes. or being middle class, or I'm just too busy for it. But it's a cave of apathy. It's a cave of, oh, I'm not concerned with what God's doing. I'm not interested. I'll just kind of come along because it's my tradition. But it's a cave of apathy. And the cave of apathy will lead to a deeper cave of antagonism, where not only are you saying, oh, I'm not bothered with what God's doing, I'm not interested in it, you'll start to rally against it. You start to say, oh, no, that can't be God. It can't be God when someone's laughing with joy in the Holy Spirit. It can't be God when someone's worshiping with abandon before the Lord. It can't be God when he's doing miraculous things among us, when he's healing people's legs right before us in a meeting. You think, oh, no, it's just hype. It's just an ego trip. Some young person wants to go and reach a community for God, and you say, oh, no, it's not God. They just want a position. They just want something. That's a cave of antagonism. God has called us to be positive provocations to one another, not negative influences. And so I'm calling you out this morning. Come out of the cave of antagonism and apathy. There's a mountaintop of passionate pursuit for you. There's a mountaintop for you, says the Lord. It is given to you to know the Lord. It's given to you. Don't despise it with apathy. Don't despise it with antagonism against what he's doing. But get involved. Come out of the cave and climb the mountain. The third cave, I've called the cave of virtual reality. I've asked the youth to be in the meeting this morning because I believe this is predominantly for them, as much as it will also be for all of us. Your life does not exist in the virtual reality of a PlayStation or an Xbox. Or Facebook friends and likes and comments. Or website subscriptions or television series or a phone screen. Your life is destined for more than a virtual reality. That's for everyone. Your life is destined for much more than a virtual reality. About 2 years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he challenged me on the amount of time I was giving to an Xbox game called FIFA. It's a football game. It's stupid. It's mindless. You control this little plastic pad and there's these little men on a screen and they go and kick a ball in a goal. And I used to love the game. Used to love it. Used to think I was pretty good. Could beat one or two of my friends. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, how much time are you giving to that compared to how much time you're giving to me? And I don't know if I've ever been broken quite like I was then. A computer game. And I was coming home from a lecture or a class at school and I was playing the computer game. I might be playing with my friends or I might go and play on my own and do a mission and think I was getting good. But there's a mountaintop. Yes. And that's just a cave of virtual reality. It means nothing. So put aside the games. I'm not saying that you don't get to watch a movie once in a while or don't get to, you know, enjoy time with your friends, of course. But when your life is consumed with a virtual reality that really means nothing at the end of the day, then I would say come out. Come out of the cave and come up on the mountain. Because on the mountaintop, you'll see God. And when you've seen him, that means nothing, really, does it? Those games, those Facebook friends that really aren't friends, they mean nothing at the end of the day when you've seen God. So come out of the cave. And finally, letter E is experiences in the past. The cave of experiences in the past. If you're more than 2 weeks old, you've probably had a bad experience. We've all had them, but it's time to come out of the cave of experiences in the past. You may have given it a shot and think you've failed, or it may have been the best experience of your life, but that's become for you a shadow that you think you could never go beyond that. You're never going to get better than that one experience. And so you've held yourself back in the cave of experiences. It may be that someone said something to you that you'd never amount to anything. Well, let's just put it to bed. Today, come out of the cave of experiences in the past. Today is a day to go again. Today is a day when God hasn't left you. He hasn't taken his spirit away from you. He hasn't removed his gifts from you. Go again today. Go again today. He hasn't put you in the used goods aisle. You're fresh today. There's a freshness in the Holy Spirit for you today. There's a mountain of new experiences for you today in the Holy Spirit. So come out of the cave of old experiences that are in the past. It's interesting, isn't it? When in 1 Corinthians it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither present nor future. It doesn't even mention the past, because the past doesn't exist anymore. It's in the past. Just come out of the cave of the past. Come out of the cave of experiences in the past and go up the mountain of new experiences. Elijah was a man who said no to the cave. I don't know if he walked past the cave that the prophets were hiding in. Certainly Obadiah later in the story tells him that he's hidden 100 prophets in a cave. He tells Elijah, they're there, they're in the cave. Elijah could well have said, oh, that sounds nice. I'll go and join them in the cave. Bread and water, shelter, comfortability, all this sort of thing. That sounds all right. I could do that. Elijah said no to the cave. He'd heard the word of the Lord. He'd recognized that that was the word of the Lord, and he'd responded accordingly. And so he could say no to the cave. No to the cave and yes to the mountain. So how about we turn to one another and say no to the cave, shall we? No to the cave. You could try saying it in your best caveman voice.
No to the cave. No to the cave.
We're not born to be cavemen.
Come on!
We're not born to be cavemen and cavewomen. We're born to be mountain men, mountain women. God has not called you for a cave. He's called you for a mountain. And so I want to tell you a little bit about the two mountains that he's called us to, Mount Carmel and Mount Horeb. Mount Carmel is the mountain that we read about at the start, the mountain on which Elijah saw the cloud rising the size of a man's hand, the mountain of vision. And later on in 1 Kings 19, he goes to another mountain called Mount Horeb. And that is the mountain of intimacy. That's the mountain where he heard a mighty wind and he heard an earthquake and there was thunder and all these external things. And then a still small voice spoke to him and he knew it was the Lord. And there's a mountain of intimacy for us. It's been given to you to know the Lord, to know his voice and to know his presence. So there are two mountains I want to call you up onto this morning. I'm calling you up onto the mountain of vision and calling you up onto the mountain of intimacy with the Lord. You know what it's like when you're on a mountaintop, don't you? When you've gone through the ordeal of climbing the mountain and your thighs are burning, your face is red and you're sweating and you get to the top of a mountain and you can see like you've never seen before. You can see further, higher, deeper, wider than you've ever seen before. God took us up a mountain this morning when he said, I want you to know the height and the breadth and the length and the width and the depth of my love. He took us up the mountain to see further than we've ever seen before. You know what it's like on a mountaintop. And there's a mountain of vision and a mountain of intimacy for us this morning. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 to 19. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Can you see the two mountains there? That mountain of intimacy, the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. That's the mountain of intimacy for us. And secondly, the mountain of vision. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would come up on the mountain and see like you've never seen before, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. For Paul, those were the two mountains of the Christian experience, knowing the Lord and seeing his purposes. Turn over to Philippians 3 and you'll see them again, these two mountains, intimacy and vision. They're hiding in there, but you can find them if you look. these two mountains, to know the Lord and to see his purposes. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through to 14. These verses have come again and again to us in the past few weeks. It says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Can you see those two mountains again? I want to know him. I want to know Christ. That's the mountain of intimacy with the Lord. And secondly, to take hold of the heavenly calling and the heavenward call. Paul earlier on in Acts calls that the heavenly vision. To take hold of Christ and to take hold of his vision. That's the mountaintop that God has for us. He's called you out of a cave, but that's the mountaintop. Intimacy with him and a vision of his kingdom and his purpose and his plan. Amen. Let's be a people who take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. When you've left behind the cave and said yes to the mountain, God is going to reveal to you himself in ways you've never imagined, and he's going to reveal to you his purpose in a magnitude you've never seen before. Paul had these two mountains, intimacy with the Lord and a vision of the Lord. He also had to come out of some caves. He lists them earlier on in Philippians there, where we were in Philippians 3. He talks about all the things that he had before he knew Christ. And they were caves. They're similar to our caves. He had the cave of comfort. He had all he needed, naturally. He had the position. He had the authority. He had the responsibility. He had the respect of people. For a man in his culture, he had everything he needed. But that was a cave of comfortability. He had the cave of antagonism, probably more than we have. He was killing Christians. He was totally against what God was doing. He was totally against it. He was black and white against it. No grace towards the Christian church at all. He was killing them. He was chasing them out. He was persecuting them. And so he also had the cave of experiences in the past. When he came to the Lord, he had some experiences to leave behind. He had some caves to come out of. And here he's telling us what he came to. When he'd left behind these caves, Paul says, this is what I found. Knowing him. Intimacy with him. And a vision of him and his kingdom, which has totally enthralled me to the point where I have to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And so there's those two things for us this morning to take hold of. Firstly, Jesus himself. Let's take hold of Jesus. Let's go up the mountain of intimacy with him. I don't mean thoughts about him or his teachings or his lessons. I don't mean a friend's love for him or someone else's experience of him. I mean for you yourself.
Yes.
Take hold of Jesus.
Yes.
He's your Lord. Yes. He's your Savior.
Yes.
It's him. He himself is the cornerstone.
Amen.
He himself, the person of Jesus Christ, is the mountaintop that he wants you to take hold of this morning. To take hold of Christ. To cling to him. Because he's taken hold of you. If you don't know what it's like to be taken hold of by the Lord Jesus, then he's going to take hold of you this morning. And once he's taken hold of you, all those other things will mean nothing. When we've come out of the cave and decided to come up on the mountain to see the outpouring of his rain, the first thing you'll see is him. Just like John on the island of Patmos. And he fell as though dead and he looked up and he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord, but also he saw God's purpose. So the second mountain for us is a mountain of vision. God wants to open our eyes this morning to see more clearly what he's going to do. To see that cloud rising like the size of a man's fist. That's a small cloud to start with. That's why he says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. When you've seen a cloud the size of a man's fist, you know the cloud that's coming. So you can do today what you should do today so that tomorrow will come. Being prepared is doing today what needs doing today so that tomorrow can come. When you've seen the little cloud, you know what's on its way. And so you can get to work with the things of today. That's what happens when you've got a vision. You've seen the end goal, and so you think, I know what I need to do today. Take hold of the vision that I've seen. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, it says, we don't look at things with things in the natural. We look at the things in the spiritual. Because the things that are in the natural are temporary. They're subject to change. But the things that are spiritual are eternal. What Paul is saying is God has given us a new set of eyes, a new perspective. He's given us new eyes to see in the spirit what he's doing. We don't look at the natural things around us. We don't look at a natural going on and think, oh, that's just, I just have to respond naturally to that. We look at things spiritually. We see an eternal quality in things. We see the eternal truth of a matter. And so we know exactly what to do spiritually in that situation. When you're on a mountain, you won't look at a sick person and see just the inevitable deterioration with age, a natural situation that somehow needs a natural solution. You'll see a supernatural God. A supernatural God who gives health to the sick. When you're on the mountaintop and you see vision, you won't see developments in international politics and think there's no solution. You'll supernaturally see the God of peace. And you'll see the kingdom that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit coming onto the earth. When you're on the mountain of vision, you won't see a family member who's so tied up in sin and lostness that there's no room for God to save. But spiritually, you'll see even the vilest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Anyone who comes to the Lord will be saved. That's a supernatural vision. That's a spiritual eyesight. We no longer look with natural eyes at a failing marriage or a dropout from school. We don't look with natural eyes at an abandoned single parent or an orphan. We don't look with natural eyes at young people struggling to find work. Even as we've done this morning, we look with spiritual eyes. We speak spiritual words in agreement with one another, and we'll see spiritual breakthroughs. Because God has called us onto a mountain of vision. He's opening our eyes to see in the Spirit. And the task for us is to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. Those two mountains, intimacy with him and a vision of his kingdom. Can you say that this morning? I'm taking hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Has he taken hold of you? Has he enthralled you? Has he captured your heart? Has his kingdom totally encapsulated your vision where you see nothing else but his kingdom? Have you seen it? And if you haven't, there's a mountaintop for you this morning.
Yes. Amen.
And you'll see. If you just come out of the cave, come up on the mountain, the Lord is going to open your eyes. Because it's given to you to know him. It's given to you to know his word. It's given to you to know his presence. So if you've never known what it is for Christ to take hold of you, then he's taking hold of you this morning. If you'll come out of your cave and give your life to him, he will take you up the mountain. And the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you. He will take hold of your life. He will lead you up the mountain. And it is the best life you could even imagine. To be honest, you can't imagine it. Until you know him, you can't imagine what he's got for you. But he wants to open your eyes. He wants you to know his love that surpasses understanding. There's a mountaintop for you. But also for us who have once been taken hold of by Jesus. We've once been taken hold of by his vision. He's reminding us again to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of you. To come out of the cave and to come up on the mountain. And so we must recognize the word of the Lord. And we must respond. As I said at the beginning, we could recognize his word, but if we never responded, then it would do us no good. If we responded to any word, then we'd get lost. We go back and forward and back and forward. But if we recognize his word and then respond, then we will see him. Amen. And we'll see his vision. And so I'd like us to respond to his word this morning.
Amen.
But first of all, I'd like us to recognize his word. So just take a moment for yourself right now to recognize God's word to you. Because the Holy Spirit, as I have been speaking, will have been speaking specifically to you. He'll have put his finger on something specific in your life. It may be a cave for you to come out of this morning. It's certainly a mountain for you to come up this morning. And I want us to recognize his word. Just take a moment for yourself to recognize the word of God. He's asked us, will you come out of the caves? Will you take hold of him who has taken hold of you? Will you settle or will you climb the mountain to know God better and to see his vision? The rain is coming. The rain is coming. Will you be on the mountain or in the caves? When he sends the rain on the earth, will you be on the mountain? Ready to run? Or will you be in the caves? So as we've recognized his word, now we're going to respond. If you just close your eyes, if you haven't already. I'm going to call out those four caves again. I'm going to call them out one by one. And for you this morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken that word to you, and you're going to make a decision, a bold decision to come out of the cave, then as I mention that specific cave, I want you to stand. I want you to stand before the Lord, not before me, and come out of the cave. The Holy Spirit won't leave you at the mouth of the cave. He'll take you on up the mountain. He won't leave you in the shadow of the cave. He'll take you onwards. But you need to respond to his word. And so firstly, if you've recognized this morning that you need to come out of the cave of comfortability, of just getting by with just enough, then it's now time to respond to that word. I want you to stand before the Lord to say, I'm coming out of the cave of comfortability. I'm coming out of the cave of getting by on just enough. I'm coming out of the cave this morning. Standing before the Lord, I'm ready for the uncomfortable adventure with him up on the mountaintop to know him better and to see his vision. Come out of the cave this morning. Secondly, if you're coming out of the cave of apathy this morning, if you're coming out of the cave of antagonism toward the things of God this morning, it's time for you to stand, to be bold, to stand up and say, I'm ready for passionate pursuit of God. I'm all in on what he's doing. I'm coming out of the cave of apathy and antagonism. Thirdly, if you're coming out of the cave of the virtual reality this morning, I want you to stand. If you're coming out of the cave of virtual reality because you want the real deal, you want Jesus and nothing else. You want to see the things he's doing, and you're willing to put anything else aside. I want you to stand this morning and come out of the cave of virtual reality. He's calling you out. And finally, if you're coming out of the cave of experiences in the past, you also need to stand this morning. What's past is past. God has a future for you. It's time to come out of the caves of experiences in the past. Come out now. Stand before the Lord and say, I'm coming up the mountain.
Yes, Lord.
And with every eye closed, I'm just going to pray.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is going to minister to you. He's going to reveal Christ to you.
Amen.
He's going to take a hold afresh of your life.
Yes. Come on,
with a knowledge of Christ and with a vision of his kingdom,
yes,
which will take hold of you,
Lord,
and capture your heart again. So, Heavenly Father, I pray now for all those who've stood. Lord, set them free from the caves that they're coming out of. Take them on up the mountain. Holy Spirit, reveal Christ to them right now. Open their eyes, Lord, to see you. Open their eyes, Lord, to be caught again with a vision of you. To be up on the mountain. To see that cloud with rain coming upon the land. Lord, open their eyes. And for all of us, Lord, those of us, Lord, who've been caught by you, we say we love you and we want to know you. And Lord, we're coming further up the mountain this morning. Higher and deeper and wider, Lord, open our eyes to see you and to know you. Lord Jesus, we say today, we're coming up the mountain. We've seen what you're doing, Lord. We've heard your word. We've recognized it and we will respond. We will be your people in the day of your power who are prepared and who are ready for the work you're doing.